this morning. May we lean in. God, may we receive. And may we enjoy sharing this with Brother Joey one more time. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church family. First off, it's really, really good to be back with you after having to be gone for a few weeks. I love meeting together with you to sing praises to our Savior. If you would take your copy of God's Word and turn to 3 John. 3 John, we're going to be in verses 1 through 4 this morning. And as you're finding your way to 3 John, verses 1 through 4, I want to talk to you this morning about a happy pastor. You know, not all church members make pastors happy. And if I had to preach and to title next week's message, I might would title it, Don't Be a Diatrophies. And you'll see that next week. But I have the privilege this morning of talking to you about a church member who makes pastors happy. You know, this may have been a leader in the church, but more than anything, it was a friend to a pastor in the church. You know, I know how Pastor John, who is the author of this text, feels, because there are several members in this room this morning that have made me as a pastor very, very happy. And I want to begin just by telling you all that I love you. And I have pretty much loved you since the day I put my feet on this ground. And I'm thankful for you. So this morning I want us to see and read together from 3 John verses 1 through 4. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The main idea this morning, the main thing I want you to see this morning, is that loving the truth leads to joy-filled living. Loving the truth leads to joy-filled living. Love, joy, and truth are triplets in the New Testament. They just go together. You read the New Testament and you see how many times these three go together. Love, truth, and joy. So number one this morning, I want you to see from verse 1 that a happy pastor makes his love known. Verse 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. What is an elder other than a pastor? An elder is a pastor. An elder is an overseer. These are synonyms in the New Testament. You see this, the office is elder. This is who he is. This is who the man is an elder. You find this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer or elder, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. That is the job description of an elder. You want to know what an elder should be? You look in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 3, a very similar, if not almost identical, list is found in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In 1 Peter 5, Peter himself says not that he is a fellow or another apostle. He says as a fellow elder. And what's the instruction? He says to shepherd. That's the pastor. That's the function. That's what he does, is shepherds the flock, being an example to the flock. Ephesians chapter 4, in fact, tells us that Jesus himself gave gifts to the church, and that is pastors, a pastor teacher, one who teaches God's word. And of course, John, Peter got this instruction straight from the Lord himself in John chapter 21 when Jesus asked him three times on the seashore, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." That's what a pastor does. That's who a pastor is. He is God's man to lead God's church. And here in 1st and 3rd John, you see the elder writing to his beloved friend Gaius. You know, Gaius means happy. It literally means one who rejoices. And here's a man who is happy in the Lord. Gaius is a man who knows what it's like to have been set free by the Lord Jesus to live and to walk according to the truth. No one walks according to the truth until they are once born again. And this man had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had received new life and the joy that comes from the Lord. You know, I've told you sometimes that I love you. I've stood in welcome, at welcome time, and the Lord just placed upon my heart to tell you that I love you. I know even more than that, I've told other people how much I love you. But if I have a regret, it's not telling you enough that I love you. Because a happy pastor makes his love known. You know, we don't have to look very far for an illustration for this. You look at Pastor K-Mac, and you see the joy all over him whenever it's getting close to a disciple now, to an infuge, to advance the light. You see him laughing and playing with his students over in the gym on Sunday nights, a random Sunday night. We may be over there, and in walks all these students just joyful and happy to be spending time with their pastor. You can go over to the student building, and he's sharing meals with them. He is a happy pastor, and he lets his love be known. And you don't have to look very far because you have a lead pastor who loves you. You see it before church on a Sunday morning as Pastor Tommy is excitedly greeting and meeting everyone, talking to you and sharing life with you. You know, he taught me to be looking around when we sing songs of worship, and that's biblical because the Bible says to sing songs to one another. And I've learned that from him, to turn around and just watch you all sing. And I don't have time to sit here this morning and list all the things I've learned from Brother Tommy. He's been my number one mentor in the pastoral ministry. I was a student in his classroom. I worked with him for a year in Texas as his youth minister. And then I was like the psalmist in 126. When the Lord restored me, it was like I was dreaming whenever he called me to come to Louisiana. I was coming home. I was coming to be here for a long time. I know the Lord has other plans, but I have learned one main thing from Pastor Tommy, and that is to love God's people. Pastor Tommy loves you, and I'm thankful for a pastor who loves God's people. So do you want to make your pastor happy? That's the question. Do you want to be a Gaius for your pastors? Then be a person who rejoices in the truth. Be a person who rejoices in the truth. This is biblical. Hebrews 13, 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Some pastors are groaners, but you are blessed because you don't have groaning pastors. You should rejoice in that truth. That God's men are leading you joyfully for your joy. Can a pastor be friends with people in his church? Once upon a time, I heard that you probably should keep your distance from people in the church and just be safe. That's not truth. Some of you are my very best friends. And I have had the time of my life sharing life with you. And this is biblical because John calls Gaius a beloved friend. They had good times together. You know, but a happy pastor doesn't just make his love known. Number two, a happy pastor prays that God's people will prosper. A happy pastor prays that God's people will prosper. Look at verse 2. "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." A better translation of this may be that all goes well with you physically as it is going so well with you spiritually. Your soul is so healthy, I'm praying that your physical health matches your soul's health. Pastors are shepherds, after all. I had the privilege of spending time with actual shepherds in Germany a couple of weeks ago who had to flee from their home, but their occupation was shepherds. And you can ask any shepherd this question: do you want your sheep to be healthy or unhealthy? And the answer, any shepherd worth his salt will tell you that he wants the condition of his sheep to be strong, to be healthy, not to be weak. And this is the same thing your pastors want for you. They want your soul to be even healthier than your physical health. And this is biblical. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." You know what marks a good shepherd? He knows how to pray for his people. He knows the condition of their souls. And John knew how to pray for his friend Gaius. Do you know how to pray for one another? You know, I'm all about, and you know this because many of you have had these conversations with me, I'm all about talking about what the score was from the night before at church on Sunday morning. I like to rejoice and to have fun with you and talk to you about things you're interested in, but here's a challenge I want all of us to get really serious about. On the Lord's Day, how about we go and ask someone? It's going to be awkward the first time you do it, but may this become kind of the spirit of this place. Maybe this becomes the norm of this place. Go up and ask a brother or a sister, "Hey, how's your soul doing? How are you doing spiritually?" Then you will learn how to pray for one another in a more specific way. How's your soul doing today? You know, I heard one pastor say it like this: here's how to pray for one another. Here's how I've been praying for myself. I pray against sin. I pray against Satan. I pray against sickness, and I pray against slander, and I pray in that order. What's the greatest way you can pray for one another? You pray that God gives us grace as we battle day by day against the flesh that remains. Secondly, you pray against Satan. You pray against him as he throws and hurls those fiery darts at your brothers and sisters. You pray against that. And then you pray against sickness. Don't we want one another to be healthy? It breaks our heart because there are church members who are absent today because of the disease of cancer. We miss seeing them, and we want them to be healthy. And then you pray against slander. You know, the world loves to slander Christians. So you pray that truth prevails. So a happy pastor makes his love known. A happy pastor prays that God's people will prosper. And number three, a happy pastor aims for the happiness of others. Look with me at verses 3 through 4. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." A happy pastor aims for the happiness of others. 1 John chapter 1 verse 4 shows us and tells us John's goal all along was the joy of others. 1 John 1 4 says, "And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." Joy has been John's aim from the start. John was not content just to be a joyful man all by himself. His joy would have never been complete in that way. Yes, he had fellowship with the Father, who has fellowship with the Son. And what greater joy is it than to know God? But John's aim was that others may know God. A pastor is not content until he sees his people being formed into Christ Jesus. Church, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about some kind of glib happiness where we walk in with painted smiles on our faces and just act like we're so happy and nothing's wrong in the world. I'm talking about a deep, abiding joy. I'm talking about a joy that's only found in the Lord. And this is the happy pastor. We could call him the blessed pastor. This is his aim, that others would be blessed. As I said earlier, love, truth, and joy go together. I have people in my life whom I love. But they are not walking in the truth. Therefore, I do not rejoice. When I hear the news of what's going on in their lives, it saddens me. It breaks my heart. And I mourn for those people because I want them to be walking in the truth. They're not walking in the truth. They're not walking in the light, as John would say. As Paul put it, they're not walking with a good and clean conscience. Their conscience is defiled. And you can tell a lot about a person by knowing what makes that person happy. There's no greater happiness, no greater joy than the joy and the enjoyment of Jesus Christ. Do you enjoy the Lord Jesus? What makes you happy? I want you to take time this morning. Pause right where you're at, and you behold, you stare, you look at all that God is for you in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness, how God has blessed us in Christ Jesus. How Jesus Christ came to set us free from sin. Apart from Him, we're slaves to sin. We die enslaved to sin, and we get justly what we deserve for our sins. But God, in Christ, set us free. The Lord Jesus Christ entered this world, lived a perfect life, obeyed God, and fulfilled the law of love and of joy. And He walked with purpose towards the cross, marching to pay for the sins of you and I. And He set us free. And He was crucified. And He was buried. And according to the Scriptures, on the third day, God raised Him from the dead, and He is alive forevermore, willing and able to set free all who would repent and trust in Him. Do you need to repent this morning? Are you walking in darkness? Are you walking against the truth? Do you put a smile and a happiness on your face when you come into this place, yet Monday through Saturday you are living outside of the light of Jesus Christ? Repent. The Lord Jesus despises hypocrites. That's who His harshest message was towards, was the religious hypocrites. But you have opportunity this morning to come and step into the light, to live a devoted life to the only one who is worthy of your life to be lived for, Jesus Christ. You live for Him. You love Him. You walk in the truth. Proverbs tells us that good news is refreshing. That's what love does. 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. What do you rejoice in? Is it funny when you hear about a brother or a sister walking outside of the fellowship of Jesus Christ? Do we laugh about what someone did on a Saturday night? Or do we recall fond memories of life long ago when we used to live outside of God's truth? That's not what love does. Love rejoices with the truth. So what do you love? Proverbs 15:30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. East Leesville Baptist Church, I want you to get in the habit of being bearers of good news. I'm not saying to ignore or make believe when someone is not walking in the truth. I'm not saying that at all. You should pray for them. But what we must not do is when we hear of someone walking in error, that we go and spread that. What do you like to share? What do you like to post? What do you like to talk about? I challenge you, when you hear of a brother or a sister walking in the truth, you share that with your pastors, because that makes the pastor happy. Be a bearer of good news. But also be weary of the person who always has the latest and juiciest gossip. Be weary of that person. Don't be the person who knows all the junk and all the trash that's going on around town. We used an outhouse for a whole week the past 7 days. That's where that garbage belongs. You don't carry that around. You put an end to it. When you hear and you walk into that conversation, you stop, you exit, and you begin praying for the person that's being talked about. And then also pray for the people that are spreading it. What do you love? Church, John tells us he had no greater joy than to hear that his children, that spiritual children, are walking in the truth. And that's the way joy works. Loving the truth leads to joy-filled living. Now, I want to leave you with some truth that will lead you, I believe, to real, strong joy. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith." Church family, you have leaders who have spoken God's word to you week after week, multiple times a week. And I have deeply enjoyed being a part of that. To be able to stand before you with what I believe is the most important meeting that you will ever attend throughout your entire week, to open up this book and to say, "Thus saith the Lord," is one of my greatest privileges and one of my greatest responsibilities, and I'm telling you, I have loved it more than most. And I have enjoyed proclaiming God's gospel all over Vernon Parish with you. We've knocked on a lot of doors. We've hosted a lot of people. And we've shared the gospel with thousands. I have enjoyed going across this country. I was joking this week as we were out in Phoenix. We might as well name One World, One Mission East Goes West, because that's all we do. We keep going west. Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming. I love it. I've seen some beautiful country, but I have had joy as I've watched this church take the gospel outside of Leesville to further God's kingdom. I've had the joy of proclaiming God's gospel with you overseas in Europe and Africa. The Smiths are not the first, and they're not going to be the last who leave this place and who miss you. We are going to miss you. And y'all are going to miss us. But leaving is what leaders do. Now, I told you I was going to give you some joy that would lead to joy. That's not real joyful, is it? But listen to what I mean. Whether it's a new assignment, whether it's retirement, or whether it's death itself, all leaders leave. All under-shepherds, all elders depart. But attached to Hebrews 13:7 is Hebrews 13:8. And Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Leaders leave, Jesus doesn't. One of my favorite preachers said, "A turnover of leadership is never a turnover of lordship." Pastors come and go, not Jesus. Get your eyes up. Jesus never changes. He's never leaving. He never switches churches. This is strong truth. And I'm praying that this truth will lead you to joy. Let's rejoice this morning in our unchanging Savior. I love you. I will miss you. I will keep in touch with you. And I will rejoice as long as I hear that East Leesville Baptist Church is walking in the truth. Let's pray. Our Father, we are happy to be your children. For all of us in this room who have been born again, you rescued us from death, from darkness, from deception. You did for us what we were completely unable to do for ourselves. By your Spirit, you showed us the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ, and we have placed our trust in Jesus because he is the Lord. And you are so good to us. I pray for the pastors of this place, of this people, they would continue to boldly, lovingly, and joyfully proclaim the truth of your word, that this church may continue to be the salt and and the light of the world, salting Vernon Parish and shining a light bright for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, you've blessed this church. We pray your continual blessing on this church, long after each one of these leaders who are here today are long gone, because Jesus Christ, you do not leave. You never change. You are alive forevermore, and you are Lord. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.